in the study of the Word of God from Matthew chapter 25, if you have your Bible. One of the most famous or oft-quoted phrases of Scripture in the Bible is found deep in this chapter, the least of these. When you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. It's important to see the context of that phrase, and so I want to back up a little bit and kind of ramp up to that phrase and understand that there's a couple of layers of meaning in that phrase and in that teaching of Jesus. First of all, one major teaching of the chapter 25 of Jesus is a matter of judgment. The truth of it is, and Mike said it well, and Ann said it well, Joe said it well, it was communicated so many times, the judgment is coming. There is going to come a time when Jesus will burst through heaven and come to the earth and say, time is no more, eternity has begun, and those who have followed me, those who have followed after me, are welcome into heaven or welcome into the kingdom of God, but there will be those that aren't ready. And when you back up to the beginning of the chapter, you see the parable of the wise and foolish virgins who were waiting for the wedding, waiting for the marriage to the bridegroom, referring to Jesus. And when the bridegroom came at an unexpected moment, some were ready and some were not. The ones that were not were sort of ready for the wedding. But sort of ready for the wedding is not ready for the wedding. You're not ready. You're either ready or you're not. And Jesus teaches that in the judgment, you're either ready for the kingdom to come or not. It's one way or another. The parable of the talents follows after that. And it ultimately is a message about judgment. You're either ready to manage the kingdom of God or you're not. Those were given more talents, managed more things, and were blessed by the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's another famous phrase of the Scripture. And the one that thought he was ready and went and buried the money of the master in the ground and didn't do anything with it was not ready. He was sort of ready. And sort of ready is not ready. And so those are lead-up stories that lead to this last passage that talks about serving to the poor. But it begins with this matter of separation and begins with this matter of judgment. Because in the passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all His holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory and all the nations will be gathered to Him and He will separate one from another. Those that are ready and those that are not ready. He will separate one from another as a sheep divides from goats. In the Bible and all through the Scripture, those references to sheep are references to followers of Jesus. David in his psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, reference to the matter of shepherd and sheep. And Jesus himself referred to sheep when he said, my sheep hear my voice. And there are all kinds of teachings and all kinds of references to sheep following the shepherd. And so when Jesus comes to this passage of Scripture, this matter of judgment, he is saying that there will come a time when the sheep, the followers of Jesus, will be separated from the goats. Now, if you know anything about goats, if you know anything about farming, goats are similar to sheep in a lot of ways. They sound the same in a lot of ways. They eat the same grain. They're about the same size. They are those kind of herd animals that go together. But they're not sheep. The only way a goat can become a sheep is by the miracle of conversion. The only way a goat sinner can become a sheep is by the miracle of conversion. How Jesus takes a dirty, rotting, scoundrel, sinner, goat, and by the grace of God and the matter of the cross, turns him into a sheep. So if you're a goat and you're sort of a sheep, you're not a sheep. And there will come a time in the judgment when Jesus will separate those who are following Jesus and separate those from those who do not have the evidence of knowing Jesus. It is a message about judgment. And then it says, he will set the sheep on his right and the goat on his left. The right is the place of honor. The left is the place of dishonor. And he begins to speak to the sheep. He begins to speak to those followers of Jesus. The king will say to those on his right, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. In other words, you found yourself serving people, and in so doing, you found evidence of meeting me. Now, this passage of Scripture in this part of the context is also about the value of serving those, as we sung about a moment ago and as we testified and we read. There's also a layer of message within this matter of judgment that gives value to serving those who are needy. The poor, the naked, the sick, the brokenhearted, those who are in impossible circumstances, people all around us who are hurting and need to be served. And Jesus says, when you find yourself serving people, you're going to meet me. You're going to find me. Now here, just put a parenthesis around this. Here's what this passage is not teaching. Because there's great theological discussion and great theological debate about it. What this passage is not teaching is a works salvation. There are many who think that they can work their way into favor with God by doing good things. There's absolutely nothing wrong with doing good things. But the motivation of good things has to be in the right context, has to be in the right heart. In other words, you can't do all of these good things that Jesus lists as values in the kingdom of God and expect the Lord to just bypass this matter of the cross because, after all, you've been such a good person. There are many, when talking about eternity, will say, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? I hope so. I think so. I hope I've been good enough. That won't make a difference. In fact, in the second half of the passage, when he refers to the goats, when he refers to those on his left, he says, when you did not see me hungry and naked and sick, and their response is, when did we see you that way? And it's basically Jesus saying, that's the point. Not only did you not serve, but you weren't looking for me. You didn't have any interest in knowing me. You just thought you could be sort of like a sheep. And at the end of time, at the judgment of time, there will be a clear separation. But those who find themselves serving because it's right to do will find Jesus evidence in the act of serving. Yesterday and Friday, we were in the Baton Rouge area, more specifically in Santama, preaching a revival for a friend of mine, Adam Beach, and his wife Keitra, and their two children, biological, and their daughter that they're getting ready to adopt, 5-year-old beautiful little girl that's a rescue girl. American adoption and the spitting image of her mama. How does that work? I don't understand. I do understand. But nevertheless, just a beautiful family. And they have just landed at Santa Maria Baptist Church, a church that in 2016, when we were repairing homes, was completely flooded in about 4 feet of water. Their sanctuary, their gym, their youth building, their parsonage on this plot of ground south of Baton Rouge was completely flooded. The congregation was devastated, wiped out, wondering if they would recover and wondering if they would survive. At the same time, Adam was pastoring in a church and struggling there and basically, long story short, resigned and stepped out of ministry for a while, which is, in a lot of ways, just a terrifying thing for a pastor to be about, but it was right for him to do. So he is living in a broken situation in Baton Rouge. Here is this church broken. And one thing led to another, and God called him to be the pastor of the church. And it's a great marriage of brokenness and healing coming together. Their 13 and 16-year-old children have been through it in the last couple of years. You can imagine as turmoil has gone after turmoil, and the teenagers feel it a lot. And so it was a privilege of ours to serve in that church and build them up and encourage them towards a bright future and challenge them then in that way and give them the message of the gospel. On Saturday morning, Joe and I woke up in Baton Rouge and we decided that we wanted to do a small act of service for the children because they've gone through so much. And so we took a $100 bill, took it to the bank and split it into two $50s and went to the took forever to try to find a place to buy a card, found a place for a card and wrote a little note to each one of the kids. And then the 5-year-old, we found a little sheep of all things to give to her as just a little snuggle gift as she's going through a lot. And we decided to be generous with a few dollars just to bless the children. And so we had the cards already. We had the money in the cards. We had the little gift. And then we still had a little more time before our lunch. And so we went over to the Best Buy store. We had needed a small refrigerator to put in our rehabbing motorhome that Joe's been loving to drive. And so we've been shopping for a small refrigerator, and they're really expensive for small refrigerators. In fact, and I want to give you the specific numbers because it's a part of the story. Everywhere we've looked, that refrigerator is $360. That's a lot of money for a refrigerator that's about that big. So we haven't bought. Well, we went and looked at the Best Buy over there. Maybe they have a better one or a better deal. And we walked in the store, and there in the very back of the store in the corner was the same refrigerator for $299. Somebody say amen. And so I said, we want this refrigerator. And I told the lady that was helping us, we want to buy the refrigerator. And she said, let me go check an inventory. And when she walked away, I said, you know, Joe, I said, the discount on this refrigerator plus the tax is about $80. I said, that $100 that we're giving to those kids has already mostly come back. And we're so excited about that. So then the little cashier lady came back and she kind of looked funny on her face. And I was like, what is she going to tell me? She says, well, we don't have one in inventory. And I'm like, but I want this refrigerator. It's a great price. It's what I've been looking for. No, we can order one for you and have it sent to your house. Well, I live 2 hours away. Well, that can't work. And so I just kept telling her, we want to buy this refrigerator. And then I finally said to her, sell me this refrigerator. I said, in fact, it's got a scratch on it. I'll buy it and put it in my truck right now because this is the refrigerator I want to buy. Well, I don't know if we can do that. So I said, well, let's go talk to a manager. And so we drifted politely over to Chad. Chad had already said hi, and I spoke to him, and I said, Chad, sell me that refrigerator. Well, we could order you one. I said, order yourself one, and then put this one in my truck, and you'll have one tomorrow. I want to buy the refrigerator. It's a good price. And he thought a while, and I was polite, you know, and, you know, it was a nice exchange. It wasn't anything, but I was in my head going, why would you sell me the refrigerator? So finally he said, okay, if you'll pay the sale price, $299 for it, I'll sell you that refrigerator. I said, sold, and I shook his hand. So then the young cashier lady, she got on the computer, and she clickety-clack, 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 and then she looked at the manager and said, you need to come over here and do what you do. So as he was coming to the computer, he walked by me, and he said to me, I'm going to knock a little bit more off that refrigerator. And I'm like, okay. So he clickety-clack, clickety-clack, and knocked another $50 off the refrigerator. And so tax included, it was $273. The one we were going to buy was about $380-some. So I did the math, and we were about $15 ahead after that whole exchange, after giving a gift to these young children. So then I walked outside as he's loading. By the way, he wrapped that thing in bubble wrap so tight, we could have dropped it off the truck on the interstate. It wouldn't have hurt it. He was just blessing me with a well-taken-care-of refrigerator. So I walked outside with him. I said, Chad, I said, are you a man of faith? He said, well, yeah, in fact, I am. I said, let me tell you the story. So I just told him the whole story that I just told you. And he said to me, he said, you know, something just told me that I needed to give a little bit more off of that refrigerator. I said, well, you're a part of the story, too. I said, we're going to go bless those children. Jesus showed up there in multiple ways. He showed off to me and Joe as we were generous with a few dollars. He showed off to the girl. He showed off to Chad. And I told that story to the kids when I gave them. And I'm telling it to you today. That's what happened when we set our sights on meeting the needs of others. We'll find Jesus there. And he will give us stories. Here's another thing just to remember about this. The best stories of life, the most memorable stories of our life can be found in the acts of serving others. You'll never forget those acts of service stories when you give yourself away, when you give your heart away, when you give your Jesus away. And so Jesus is saying that by serving others, you're showing your heart. You're showing that you know me. And when you know me and you practice knowing me, you'll find me in the acts of service. And so it's important for us to remember that the test of our heart is in the giving our Jesus away. It's also a warning. If you're sort of a Christian, you're not a Christian. If you're sort of living like others live that call themselves of Christ, but it's not clearly sealed in your heart, you're not there. The simplicity of the gospel is sometimes a barrier to people because people think, that, oh, it's got to be something more than that. That's why people get bogged down in this passage, in this matter of work salvation. But I want to tell you today, if you're wrangling over this matter of whether or not you're ready for the judgment, it's as simple as this. Jesus died to save you from your sins. You're not worth saving, but Jesus chose to save you anyway. And your response is yes. Your response is yes to Jesus. Has that happened in your life? If it hasn't, it can happen right there where you sit right now. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you in my heart. I mean it. Save me. And the answer will always be yes with a sincere request from the Lord. And so, please be encouraged to follow through. Remember that we are all called to be sheep. We're all called to show evidence of our heart as we serve others and ultimately serve Jesus. So how do we become that kingdom servant? How do we practice that act of serving? Well, first of all, we need to be prepared. As I've already talked about, we need to be prepared for the return of Jesus. And we need to, secondly, know Jesus. Know Him. Know Him from the Word. Know Him from worship. Know Him from our witness. Know Him from our testimony. We need to know Jesus no matter what. No matter what circumstance might push us away from Jesus, we need to know Jesus. Then we must develop a servant heart as a natural expression of life. And walk through life seeing people that are hungry. Walk through life seeing people that are sick. Walk through life seeing people that are naked. Walk through life seeing people that are disadvantaged. Walk through life seeing people that are broken and hurting and serve them. Don't worry about the cost. Don't worry about the consequence. Don't worry about the time. We've talked about it over and over this year. Be generous with Jesus as you come in contact with people around you that you see as an opportunity to serve and see Jesus. We see the benefit, ultimately, of relationships that lead to Christ conversations and lead to conversion as we serve the least of these. And when we do that, we see the kingdom as it truly is. This past week, I guess it was on Friday, it was late in the afternoon, right as the office was closing, and Kimberly made a call to me and she said, "Could you come to the office? There's a guy here that wants to see you. His name is Blaine. He had met you 6 months ago." And I vaguely remembered a Blaine. And so I came down to the office right quick. And here was this guy that had come by our food ministry about 6 months ago with his wife. And they seemed to be a well-spoken, articulate couple. And so I spent a little extra time with them and ministered to them. And they had some needs. And we conversed with that. And then I didn't see him again. I hadn't seen him again until the other day. And so he shows up on my doorstep of the church and he said, "I didn't know anywhere else to turn." He said, "I've been in prison for 6 months and then they dropped me off here and I need a place to stay for the night and there's a shelter in Lake Charles," and on you go. And just, you know, just terrible after terrible after terrible. And I confess to you, knowing that I was preaching this sermon today, but I confess to you, I'm sitting there on Friday afternoon. The last thing in the world I wanted to do is drive to Lake Charles to go to a shelter. I just thinking in my head, "I don't want to take this guy to shelter. I don't want that. There's no way around it." So finally, after what probably was forever, it probably wasn't more than 5 minutes, I said, "Well, why don't I take you to the shelter?" And here we go. Anyway, we got in the car and we were driving along and he began to tell me, "I don't know how I could ever repay you. I don't know how I could ever repay you." And I just looked at him plainly and I said, "The only way you can repay me is to get better. Stop this cycle. Get better. Follow after Jesus. And stop living this life that you're living." And he said, "I know. I need to do that." And on we went to the shelter to help a brother in need. I didn't meet Jesus yet there, but I knew it was the right thing to do. And sometimes you just do the right thing and the time wasn't that big a deal and you find yourself serving. I had the opposite benefit this week, and a couple of teenage boys that are dear in my life served me and served my family. One of them is Caleb, who works and serves in our church, and the other one is Bryce, who's Jordan's best buddy. You probably know Bryce from the neighborhood. Well, we took off Monday in the motorhome to go to a little work and play trip. And as we were leaving, our dog, Roni, our bigger dog, was nowhere to be found. He sometimes goes to see the neighbor, and he goes to see a few neighbors. But anyway, we couldn't find him, but he usually finds his way back pretty quickly. And we had to leave and didn't know where he was. And so we left, and a little way out of town, we called Bryce and called Caleb and said, be on the lookout for our dog. And so after a day, we didn't hear anything about the dog, assumed the dog had come back. And after a second day, we didn't hear anything about the dog and assumed the dog had come back. And on the evening of the second day, or the third day, I guess, as we were coming back into town, Bryce calls and says, I found your dog. 3 days, I found your dog. And come to find out, the dog had gotten locked in Mrs. Joe's van for 3 days. Apparently, she opened the door, got something out, went this way. The dog went in. She shut the door, and she went on her way. It's either that or she wants a new van, and she wanted to sabotage that vehicle by putting a dog in there for 3 days. He didn't mess up the van. Sorry, you don't get a new van. But anyway, he didn't mess up the van. But here was what's so remarkable to me. Bryce and Caleb kept serving my family. They kept coming by. They kept checking. They kept looking. They kept trying to figure out a way to solve this problem of the lost dog, and showed evidence of a heart that's serving Jesus. The dog's fine. The van's fine. And we have two best buddies that are bent on taking care of our family. It's good when we serve one another. It's good when we meet the needs of those in need. Sometimes there's not a payoff. Sometimes there's an immediate payoff. And what Jesus is saying here, the payoff is in my viewing you serving people that matter to me. And by serving people that matter to me, you show your heart, and I see your heart, and I welcome you into the kingdom. It becomes a matter of judgment for those who are not ready versus those who are ready. And the passage becomes a high value on serving the least of these. So the question is today, are you finding your heart tuned to Jesus? And are you finding yourself serving others as you're serving Him? Or do you find yourself still being a goat and need a conversion in order to be right with Jesus as we serve the least of these?